Hello, it's Connor. I just want to pop by before the episode starts because I want to tell you about our bonus content platform, which is on patreon.com/thedramapodcast. It's called Drama Plus, where every single month you get access to extra bonus episodes and you get added to our Instagram close friends and you support the podcast that you know and love. And it goes a long way for us. And trust me, we get into the extra twin talks, the tea, the scoop, the everything. On Drama Plus, on that close friends. So definitely go over there and sign up. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to today's episode with the star of Real Women Have Curves, the musical. She is everything. Well, I feel like I'm holding her name back for a second because I want you to hear it when we introduce her in a second. I'm being a little mysterious today. But anyway, you're going to absolutely love her. You're going to love this episode. And you're going to feel so high on it that you're going to want to go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast. And become a member of Drama Plus for $5 a month. We appreciate your support. We love you. We can't wait for you to hear this episode with our star. Drum roll, please. Ooh, you gotta wait for the show. Bye.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey. Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, how are you? You're like kind of glowing. I'm not going to lie.
You know what? I was outside last week at like a happy hour with coworkers. And I think that
okay.
I was just a little sun-kissed. But not going to lie, I do look like I spent some time like on a
you
beach.
You do. You kind of do. And you've got like a décolletage happening and your hair looks like beachy and curly. I'm kind of gagged.
I do love a décolletage moment, I have to say. Well, I'm getting excited. In a couple of weeks, I am going to the beach. Myrtle Beach.
Wait, really? I forgot that you were going. I think I blocked it out of my brain for some reason, but you're going between the two weddings, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy...
Between two weddings. Wow, that's the next rom-com. The next Emily Henry novel.
I know. Well, with summer coming up, I realize we have not talked about Drag Race All-Stars this year. And I'm just curious to jump in, get your thoughts real quick, because it's a brand new format for the 10th season.
I know. And I'm so glad they switched it up. All-Stars 10, what are they calling it? Tournament of All-Stars or something? Which you can tell they named it that after the season was filmed because it's like never said, but that's the title of it and everything. But I love it. I'm so glad they switched it up with their format. Now, are they, you know, they're having like queens who were the first or second eliminated that are coming back now. So I feel like they should have changed the title in general and just called it like Tournament of Rue Girls or something like a little bit different to make it a different spinoff. But it's so fun. And having just six at a time really helps you get to like reunite, reconnect with the queens. But the stakes are still high. Like they might not make it past episode three or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's so good. What do you think?
Yeah. And not that I watch it for the, say it with me, drama, but there has been actually some like light drama and stuff. It feels pretty authentic and not too produced. And I do like that it's queens so far that we haven't seen a ton of in a while or since their season. So I'm excited. I like the first bracket. I'm looking forward to like, I do love Ginger Minj. I know I just said it's queens we haven't seen in a while, but I'm excited to see her back in a couple of weeks. And then
what about Lydia Butthole Collins?
Oh, well, she's so fun too. She's so fun.
Mistress?
Always brings the drama. Well, I've got to say, I am gagged for Bosco in each of these episodes so far. I mean, the body is bodying the new face that she debuted a few years ago. She's so funny. She just feels so much more confident and comfortable in herself. Absolutely love her. I do have a soft spot in my heart for Deja Sky. She was so amazing when Hunter and I saw the Drag Race Vegas show.
Yeah.
But other than that, the upcoming brackets kind of have me even more excited. Nicole Page Brooks, obviously Georges, who's been back a million times, but I was annoyed about Georges being back at first. And then the minute that she opens her mouth and starts talking in the extremely funny way that she phrases everything, I'm down for Georges.
And Rue is giving.
Yes.
Like clocked in. Activated, having fun. I love it.
Yeah.
I feel like the tides have turned back on Rue. Like people are like into Rue again.
Yeah.
Maybe ever since the House of Hidden Meanings.
Always my queen for sure.
But anyway, Dylan, speaking of a queen we love.
Oh, I like that. Today, I like that transition.
I'm so excited about our guest today. Like we actually talked about it on the podcast already. So our listeners know. And actually, So many people have watched that clip and have texted me or whatever. And they're like, okay, I saw the show you guys were talking about. And you're right. Everything you said, you're right. I cried my eyes out with joy. I fell in love, like obsessed, obsessed, obsessed. So I'm like beaming right now that we're going to be able to chat with the star. Oh my God.
I know. I remember just looking at you at intermission and being like, a star is born.
Yeah. And also like we could barely speak because we were in tears.
Well, yeah, that too. I'm going to bring her in.
Please.
Our guest today is making a beautiful, bold Broadway debut as Ana Garcia in Real Women Have Curves, the musical. For her stunning performance, this rising star recently received a Drama Desk nomination for Outstanding Lead Performance in a Musical and the Drama League's Distinguished Performance Award nomination. Regionally, our guest has starred in Rock of Ages at the Sharon Playhouse, directed by Hunter Foster, as well as in productions of Rent, Les Miserables, and more. She received a BFA in musical theater from Boston Conservatory at Berkeley and originally hails from the Bay Area in California. This Broadway star will also be able to be heard on the upcoming Real Women Have Curves cast album coming soon. We're thrilled to meet her at this iconic moment at the start of what is going to be a glorious career. Please welcome to Drama, Tatiana Cordova.
I'm so excited to be here. Hi.
We're so excited to have you.
What an intro. Jesus. Oh my God.
Tatiana, I had to dig through your Instagram tagged photos to try and figure out some of the past credits because I love to like do a deep dive of research.
Yeah, because I have barely any.
You're just at the start, honey. And a lot of people don't like to put like college stuff once they've made their Broadway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been such a crazy experience because I have one regional credit and that's kind of that was my professional debut, and then this happened, so like it's a little crazy when people are like, what have you done? And I'm like, well, I did this one thing.
You're so amazing. It's been a crazy couple of months for you, I can only imagine, but here we are. We do love to check in with all of our guests. Tatiana, are you well?
I'm as well as I can be. I'm good. I'm very grateful. I'm very tired, but overall, I'm okay. I'm trying to figure out how to balance Broadway and like my normal everyday life, and it's been a struggle, but I'm well in general.
I mean, I can't even imagine like waking up every day and being like, do I have it in me? Cuz you sing so much in this show, and then even on two show days, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. You know, it's so crazy because a question I get a lot is like, what did you do to prepare for this? And I feel like, I mean, both of you know that it's mostly Broadway debuts in the show. And so all of us have sort of tried to prepare as best as we can, you know, physically or mentally in the like weeks or months, like leading up to rehearsals and the actual show. But there's just like nothing that prepares you for all the things and just what your body and spirit and mind go through during this process. And so you kind of just have to like get on the train and hope you stay on it.
Was there anyone in the cast who was like able to prep you just in a way, or do they just kind of know that that's how it goes? So they just needed to let you embrace the moment.
Jen Sanchez, who is our Broadway veteran, and this is her 10th Broadway show, like queen.
Wow.
10th Broadway show.
Legacy Rub vibes?
No, because actually she is on a principal contract. Ooh. For this, which Legacy Rub is only an ensemble contract, but like honorary Legacy Rub, because she is like such a veteran, and she's like such a kooky, wild, amazing woman, and I love her so much. And she was just like, girl, you just gotta do it. She's over here like this on 10th Broadway show. She's like, she knows how crazy of a ride it can be. And she is someone who's just like, you just got to roll with the punches and hope you're okay at the end.
Yeah. Now, I guess I'm curious, have you been able to have fun through it? Because I'm such a stressed out person that when I'm starting, I just started a new job 2 months ago. And I'm like, you're kind of in like survival mode at the beginning. You're like, oh my God, I'm adjusting to a new routine, a new walk to the work, you know, a new this, a new that, new people, all this. And it's hard for me sometimes to like enjoy the moment. Like, how has that been for you to adjust to this experience?
Yeah, I'm such a stress ball too. I will stress about the smallest things and it'll like literally take over my whole day. So this has been a big learning curve for me in just sort of being a little more flexible in my everyday life, because so much is just thrown at you and you never know when it's going to happen. Like whether it's like working on a new Broadway musical, there's so many changes every day, and there's so much like press and events and all these things that where you can know the day before that it's happening. And as someone who's a natural stress ball and a big planner, I kind of had to throw that mentality out the window as soon as we started. And it's been actually really freeing in some ways to sort of just like be able know that I can just roll with it when I have to, even if it's not my favorite. But I have been able to have a lot of fun. I mean, this cast, it's so hard to not have fun. I mean, I think anyone who sees the show, I like to think you can tell how much we love each other and how much fun we have as characters, but that's really just how we are as people and with each other off stage as well. We're all really grateful for each other that, it has been a really stressful, crazy, wacky time, but as a cast, we have so much fun together, and they're the best part of this whole thing.
Oh my God.
That,
Well, I mean, the
yeah.
telenovela that y'all do on Instagram, it's everything. Who thought of this?
It was me.
There you
Yes.
go. That's our creative director, girl. All
I mean,
right.
like I said, this cast is hilarious and so down to clown. Like, just constantly, like, we have like cast bits all the time and we're constantly messing with each other and just, they're just so hilarious. And I was like, you guys, we need to do something with this. Also, all of them are so willing to do like stupid stuff, be silly and be funny with each other. So I came up with this idea and I was like, okay, every dressing room has homework. And they came back to me with 100% commitment, all in, ready to go. The voiceover for those is actually one of our ensemble members, Zeus Mendoza, who is a voice actor. That's what he does. He's
He is
incredible. And I
amazing.
asked him one day randomly during intermission, I was like, hey, do you have like a telenovela Antonio Banderas like voice in you? And he goes, oh, like this? And he just does it. And I was like, oh my God, if I send you a script tonight, can you do that? And he was like, yes, I got it. And it has just been so fun. And everybody is so down, and is that's just like our fun, I think amongst all the stress, we've been having fun doing those like silly things together, but it turned into this like project where now we like
Yeah.
have episodic like plans for it. It's like crazy.
I love
It's
it
gonna be
so
such a nice
much.
time capsule, in a couple of years to be able to look back on it all too.
I feel like I keep comparing the role of Anna as like an Elle Woods sort of character, the arc that she goes on throughout the whole show and the journey the audience takes with her. You just fall in love with this character. I mean, and you are just
Thank
so
you.
beautiful in this performance. I mean, vocals down, but everything. Like, you have this empathetic quality about you that we just fall for you from the minute it starts. And I just want to congratulate
Thank
you on this performance because, oh my God, one of my favorites of the season. Like,
you. Thank
seriously,
you so much.
incredible.
Yeah, it's been a she doesn't leave the stage. This girl does not leave. She is relentless. This girl, Anna. She doesn't leave. And the times I am off stage, I'm like changing or I'm like, I'm not really sitting and chilling. So it's been a marathon, like this entire rehearsal process and the show process. But I mean, she's so fun. And thank you. That means so much. I've put so much into this. So that means so much to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really is an incredible performance. And I mean, I'm sure that helps a little bit with like anxiety because once you're on the stage, you just kind of have to go, right?
I mean, it's the same. It's kind of how I've been approaching this whole process of just, getting on the train. And it's the same thing with this role where, once I start, it just move. It makes the show like a blink of an eye for me. I blink and suddenly we're, at bows. It's kind of nice for me in that way. Something that I didn't expect when I first started. I mean, also, I didn't know the show at all. I didn't get to see the ART version. I know the play, but the play is very different from the musical and very different from the movie. So, and again, we developed it, as we were going. So I didn't realize, how much this is really the audience is following Anna. Anna is the audience's eyes and ears into this story and into this world. And it wasn't until second week, maybe third week of previews that I really felt like I locked in and was like, oh, this is what it feels like to drive the story in that way and for the audience to be on the ride with me. And once I unlocked that, it's become a lot easier now. But it took a long time to really find that exact rhythm and pace that was required for her.
I'll bet. I mean, we saw it on a Sunday night, and the sort of relationship between the audience and the actors was something I've not really seen recently in a Broadway show. And I'm curious if, do you know what I'm talking about? There's like a very vocal sort of back and forth. Is that happening every single performance?
Every single performance. It's so funny because sometimes there's a number in the second act, which you both know, but there's a number in the second act called Adios Andres, which is this hilarious number with the women about menopause. It's a crowd, everybody loves
Oh,
it.
yeah.
And the stage managers will go like this backstage when the laughs come for the audience because it's just like roaring, cackling, like, and it's, I mean, it happens throughout the show, but like that's one of those where it's like a guaranteed audience is on board. But yeah, it's sometimes we're like, oh, there's the laugh track. Because our show is very sitcom-y at times, and I think also our show, and I mean our cat, that those women do such a beautiful job of right away. I like to think the audience feels invited to do that and invited to really be in the world with us, which is why I think we've gotten the responses we've been getting. But it is like that every night, and it's actually really funny because sometimes the things that come out of the audience are crazy. So crazy.
Yeah.
And you can hear them like talking back to you guys.
Oh, we can. It's not a huge theater.
Yeah.
We can hear them. And sometimes, like the Mother's Day show, there was a man right in the front row. He had a floral shirt on, and his laugh was so distinct, so separate from the rest of the audience, where every time we came off stage, we were like, this one's for that guy. He was just like, just cackling. Oh my God. It's amazing. And it really feels great as a, you know, as a cast. And it makes us know that, you know, y'all are with us and it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I
Totally.
mean, the moment that had Dylan and I both speechless and tears in our eyes from like joy and inspiration, and I feel like I'm gonna cry right now talking about it. Oh my God, is when y'all do the title song in Act Two and just seeing the audience leap to their feet and just celebrate that moment was just so beautiful. I have not experienced something like that in a Broadway theater. So I don't know when. I mean, it really felt like sure, you see standing ovations at Broadway shows for performances, but this was a standing ovation that was for the story being told on the stage, the story we were all experiencing in the audience, for everything. It was just, it's smartly written musical theater that is completely connecting with the audience in this way that you can't even really describe it. It just took our breath away.
Yeah, that moment is so special, and it's special every time. And you know, we've tend to get a standing ovation during that number, but we never expect it. I mean, it's also every audience is so different, and you never know, you know, if it makes them uncomfortable, if they are shy away from it. You know, you never know what their response is going to be. And to get such a positive and supportive response every time is so awesome, especially when like I can't think of a more vulnerable thing to do as an actor. Like already acting and singing on stage is so vulnerable in itself. And then to be doing it with just your underwear on is really scary. And I think that to really feel that love, and that's one of the only numbers where the audience is semi-lit. So we can see everyone, even in the balcony, we can see everybody and see their faces and see them cheering or nudging their friend or whatever it is, and it's just it is really cool and unlike anything I've ever experienced in a show as an actor.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your vulnerability. I mean, as a person living in a bigger body myself, it was very, very special to see. And we have like a Tracy Turnblad character in Hairspray, which at the time, you know, groundbreaking. But Tracy's at the butt of every joke a lot of the time throughout the show.
Yeah.
And I never feel like any of the women in this show, especially Anna, are at the butt of any jokes when it comes to size. I think there's like the motherly jabs that Justina's character will make, but it's never in a making fun of to get the audience to laugh along kind of way. And
Yeah.
so I think it's just a really, really brilliantly done show. So hats off to you as
Thank
well for
you.
just being the vessel for carrying that.
Thank you. Thank you.
It is so well written. Like you mentioned the Adios Andres number two, which again, it's just such a smart moment for the Carmen character that like we see every side of her. She gets to be really funny in this moment too. She's not just like mom who's, you know, putting pressure on her daughter.
Yeah.
Like it's just so well done. You fall in love with all the women in the show. Really so good. I could rave about
Yeah.
it all day.
The women are so brilliant. And I mean, Justina, Miss Tony nominee, sorry, I have to say really quick, she's just so brilliant. And one thing that she's been with this character for a while, and this show is like 20 years in the making. Her and Sergio have known each other for years and years and years, and he's always had this idea and always knew he wanted it to be her. And like, and
Wow.
one thing that she has talked about herself about this character is how she wanted to make sure you saw all those layers of Carmen. Because, you know, in the movie, she comes off very much, it's brilliant, but it is very harsh and
Yeah.
very a little bit one-sided, which is very real and is, that's how moms can be. But in this story, Justina found it really important to make sure that you also see that it's that harsh, strict part of Carmen is more out of fear rather than out of, you know, her just being mean or, you know, being actually judgmental. It's more of a fear that a lot of immigrant families and immigrant mothers have for, you know, their children and the scary American world that they might not quite understand. So
Yeah,
just had to
it's
her brilliance really quick
of
because she
course.
is brilliant.
Oh my gosh, beyond. I love her. Oh my God, love her so much. Connor and I rooted so hard for her on Dancing with the Stars a couple of years
Yes!
ago.
Listen, I love her. A clip of her doing that came up on my TikTok, the RESPCT number
Oh
where she
yeah.
was singing
Yeah.
down out of nowhere came up on my TikTok the other day. And I was like, wait, well, I had to watch it like four times. I was like, what's going on?
Oh, it's so good. Wait, so is there a moment in the show that you look forward to doing every single night?
Oh my God. All, oh my God. I mean, the whole show is so fun. My scenes with Mason Reeves, all of my Henry scenes
Yeah.
are, they're few and far between. The men take a back seat in the show. They have the
Yes.
ultimate princess tracks, which is so funny. But he's just so sweet and so hilarious and kind. And all of our scenes, a really awesome moment for the audience to get a look into. Anna in the musical is very spunky and headstrong and has a lot of, you know, strong beliefs and a little bit of a chip on her shoulder. But I think a lot of the Henry scenes, you get to see the more soft and vulnerable side of her and a little bit silly that she can't fully do with her family or with her mom present. And so that's always really fun. We have a second act number that is
Yes.
my favorite part of the show because we are literally just being silly and having fun on stage. It's called Doing It Anyway, and it's us having consensual, trying to have consensual sex, but we don't know what's going on. And just all of those like choreographic moments that we have and all of those things was a day of us with Sergio just being silly and messing around and figuring out what worked for us. And those moments are really, really fun. And we are truly just like making fun of ourselves on stage, which is hilarious.
Oh, that's so cute. Well, it's seriously just an amazing show, and I think everybody needs to go and see it because it's what we need right now. And I mean, the way that I can't even describe the way that I felt after leaving, and I think that everybody needs that little boost. Okay, wait. So we'd like to talk about that moment of when you got into the arts. It could also have happened when you were even younger, per se. We call it the Ring of Keys moment when you maybe saw a performance or a movie or a musical or, you know, had some experience that made you realize that you wanted to pursue a life in the arts. Do you feel like you have one you can think of, maybe even multiple ones?
Yeah, I think two specific ones come to mind. The first one is, I don't know how old I was, maybe 4 or 5, and my parents showed me the movie Annie, the one with Carol Burnett,
Yes.
and my mind was blown, especially because I was watching a young girl that was around my age that just dance and sing. And at the time, my dad's a singer, so I had been singing my whole life, and then my mom was a dancer, so I had been in ballet since I was 2. So I always had these two things surrounding me. And then I watched that movie and I was like, oh my God, I can do both at the same time. And she's my age. And it was just so fabulous and fantastic. And I just don't even know how many times I've seen that movie.
And now you're literally on Broadway at the same time as Bernadette Peters, and you're like, oh, cool. Like,
Crazy.
from the
Like,
same
so
movie. Yeah.
crazy. Oh my God, so insane. So I remember that like sparked everything for me. And then I had done musical theater ever since. But when I was 17 and was about to go into college or start like looking into college, I saw Hamilton for the first time. And that growing up being brown and being from the Bay Area, which we have a really rich arts culture, but on the West Coast, musical theater is not as much of a thing as the East Coast, where here it's so plentiful. But on the West Coast, it's more of the TV and film world. And where I grew up, it was just a little, it was sort of like musical theater specifically was the white kid sport, is what a lot of my friends would say. And so I was one of two or three brown kids in my like local theater program. And so to watch Hamilton for the first time and that opening number with just all black and brown faces being so excellent. And I just like remember sobbing at the end of that opening number because it was like, oh my God, they're doing it and they're brilliant. And also there's nothing in the show that has to do with them being black or brown, which that was incredible to me because as a young Latin actor, you know, you in the Heights and West Side Story and all those things, which are of course incredible and amazing in their own right. And also you think that's all you can do. And it's very easy, especially, you know, in youth theater growing up, everybody can sort of do everything. But then when you sort of look more into the industry, you get more serious about it, you realize that there are limitations that are placed upon you, unfortunately. And musical theater tends to be a little behind everything else. And so just watching that was, I was like, okay, I can do that too. I was already going to do it anyways. But that really set for me that things are going in the right direction and there is a place for me here. And that was really awesome.
Oh, absolutely. No, wait, has Lynn come to see Real Women?
Yes. He saw it during previews, like maybe our first or second week of previews. And then he saw it, he came to opening and that was so cool. It was cool because he's just like a genius, legend, king, everything in his own right. And also he's just had a hand in so many things that changed the theater industry for the better for brown people. And he loved it. And that was just, you know, just him being there was so cool. And him getting to receive us and receive our story was awesome. But the fact that he genuinely loved it so much, he was in tears the first time he watched it. And that was really awesome to see someone you respect so much in the industry just root for you and the cast so hard and just believe in what you're doing, especially when it's a new show and we're the last entry of the season. We're a cast of all black and brown people. Like, we're immediately a little bit of an underdog. And to see someone of his achievements and everything just really believe in it as much as we do was so cool.
That's magical. He's the best. I see you two working together one
No,
day
oh
in
my
some
God, I need
capacity. You
it. You said it,
need
not me.
it. I need it. I
I
know
need
that. Oh
it
my God. I mean, I know you're literally like, okay, In the Heights is like the only show that you think you can do, but I do need to see you play Nina. So
That's a dream. It is kind of like a funny, like I feel like every Latin musical theater person I've worked with has done it, and now we like consider it like a rite of passage. I've never done the show.
my God.
And I need to do so many like Latin people in theater are like, oh my God, don't put me in for In the Heights again. I tell my agents, I'm like, if you ever see it, put me in coach because I need to do it once. I would love to do Nina. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, absolutely. Wait, so when you saw Hamilton and when you were, you know, that age, was there one of the gals in the show that you were like, okay, I want to play Angelica or, you know?
My dream track is W5, which is Ensemble Woman, and then they cover all three sisters,
Oh
which
yeah.
actually Shelby Acosta, who plays Flaca in our show, that
Yeah.
was she just did that on tour. But I would love to play all of them, but Eliza is like
Oh yeah.
dream role for me.
Oh my God. Yeah, I feel like you would sing it down. I've got a question. So you said your dad is a musician, right? Was he very supportive of you watching Annie and then being like, okay, all right, Dad, I'm gonna, jump into the theater world. Was he into it? Or was he kind of like, oh, it's a hard life. It's a hard life.
No, my parents, I'm very, very lucky that my parents, both of them, have always been so supportive. My dad is very much of the mind. He learned very early on that none of his children would be scholars. So none of us, which I have two, my brothers are twins, by the way.
God. Identical or fraternal?
Very fraternal,
Okay,
very
okay.
fraternal. But
Aww.
he's very much of the mindset and always has been that whatever you do choose to do, you're going to do it 100% and be the best you can possibly be at it. And so as soon as they saw that was something I loved. They nurtured that as much as they could. And I, at a very young age, took a lot of initiative in, hey, mom, I saw my friend is doing this musical. My friend is in this dance class. Like at like 6, I was like telling them that I need to do these things in order to like pursue that. So they've always been really, really supportive and on board with it. And my dad comes from the Latin pop salsa world. So the only musical theater show he really knows and loves is Phantom of the Opera, because he's an
Okay.
80s kid and he loves like 80s music. But musical theater world was not something he was really familiar with, besides, Annie, and because it was a movie or whatever. And my mom, same thing. She was a ballet dancer and an NBA cheerleader, but again, musical theater was not something that, so we all kind of learned together and learned to love it together. And they've been so supportive of the journey ever since.
Has all of your family been able to see the show?
My parents and my brothers came to opening, and it was so funny because I had some family come during previews, and my parents had the worst FOMO because they've come to every show I've ever been in, like as soon as they can. So the fact that they were like some of the last people to see it, they like couldn't even deal. Oh my God, they were so beside themselves. I mean, my dad is not a very like outwardly emotional person, but like he couldn't speak to me for like 20 minutes. He was just like, he had no words, and they were so excited. And they've been preparing for this as much as I have my whole life. So I think for them, it felt like this release of breath as well.
You did it. Yeah. When was the first time you ever visited New York and saw a Broadway show?
I visited New York for the first time. I think I was 11 or 12 with my godparents, and they took me to New York, and it was my first time away from my parents too. I remember crying on the airplane because I was like, no, I'm gone from my parents for a week. And we saw Mamma Mia when it was at the Winter Garden. That was my first Broadway show, which is crazy because Mamma Mia is coming back this year.
To the Winter Garden, right?
Is
Isn't it
it?
literally going
Oh
back?
my God,
Yeah, I think it
crazy.
is.
Wow. Yeah, well, that was my first Broadway show. I don't even remember watching it. I just remember being like, yep, that's it. Gotta do that.
And you liked New York, though? Like, did you see yourself living here?
Yeah, I mean, I loved, New York and the Bay Area have a lot of, I mean, New York's so much bigger, but they have a lot of, they mirror each other a lot with, all the different cuisines, the different cultures, like how diverse it is. So it really felt not too far from home. So yeah, I've always loved New York.
Okay, I'm also kind of curious about your college experience because I'm imagining some of those years were maybe during COVID.
COVID hit our spring break of sophomore year for me. So they were like, your spring break's actually going to be 2 weeks long. Just kidding. It actually is until it's not.
Were you
I
in rehearsals for a show
can't.
or anything?
No, I had a complicated college experience. I only did one show in college. I did my senior, the final show of senior year, I did Rent with Ricky Tripp, who just choreographed Wonderful World on Broadway, who just saw the show. He's amazing. But I had a really hard time in college and just a complicated relationship with the FA program. And just, it was a really big culture shock for me to go from the Bay Area, which is so diverse and warm and welcoming, and Boston was not exactly that. And it was also, I was at beginning of freshman year, I think there was 80 kids in our musical theater freshman class, and I was one of 9 brown or black or minority kids. So we were very few, and that was really weird for me, especially where I grew up in the Bay Area. I grew up in Oakland, so it's mostly black and brown kids. So that was just very disorienting for me. And it was really hard to sort of find my place in college. So as horrible and life-altering COVID was for everyone, it actually ended up being a really awesome thing for me. And I got to go home. I got to be back in nature, and I got to be with my family, who I'm so close to. And I got to still do school, but distanced from a lot of the things that were making me sort of lose my love for musical theater and were making me confused about why I even wanted to do it in the first place. And so COVID was actually a really awesome time for me to sort of figure out what my version of success and what my version of being able to do this for the rest of my life was without outside influences. And so that was really awesome for me.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you speaking to that because I do think that a lot of people, the whole BFA experience, it is a kind of a
It's hard.
complicated thing with for a lot of people. It's
Yeah.
very hard and the programs are very specific and the business is very different than I think what a lot of the programs are preparing people for. And so I just appreciate you being honest about that experience too, because I don't think you're alone at all in the way that, the cookie kind of crumbled there.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody prepares you for it to be one way or the other. And everybody has such a different experience. My boyfriend went to the same school, same program. We graduated the same year. We actually played Mimi and Roger in that senior production.
Stop.
But
Wait, were you dating at the time when you were in Rent Together?
no, we didn't know about each other like the entire college experience, really, because he was originally the class above, and then he took a gap year and came into our class, and so that was our introduction to each other. And then he couldn't get rid of me after that,
Oh my gosh.
I can't blame him. Oh my
but
God.
he had an amazing experience in college and loved it, and it was awesome for so everybody has such a different experience, and nobody tells you about all of that.
Yeah. How did you end up finding that spark again, like after the program?
Yeah, I think having a lot of time by myself and with my family and around everything that makes me feel the most myself really made me sort of have to face like what it, I want to be on Broadway is what you say, right?
Yeah.
But like, what does that look like or what does that mean? I think also like something that is cultivated in musical theater kids growing up, and especially in BFA programs, is this idea of like Broadway or bust. Like, if you're not on Broadway, if you're not doing a national tour, if you're not doing whatever, then you haven't succeeded yet. And I think that getting to be away from that culture and reminding myself that, oh, I have a lot of things I'm passionate about that have nothing to do with theater. I have a lot of things that I'm good at that have nothing to do with theater. And that if I'm not on Broadway, if I don't get a national tour, if I end up doing something completely different, I will be just as fulfilled and happy in my life. That realization for me was like essential because that one made me take a lot of stress off of myself to be this perfect like musical theater robot. And also, I'm not the prime example of like what musical theater looks for, whether it's like my body or the fact that I'm brown or that I'm a woman or whatever it is. Like, so I think taking a lot of those, there was a lot of stress and pressure on me and on a lot of kids trying to do this that are factors that you have no control over. And I think realizing that a lot of those things had nothing to do with me and who I am was really helpful. And that made me like come into myself more and gain a confidence of myself and what I have to offer that I didn't have before. And I think at first I thought it was going to close off a lot of opportunities, being okay with this is who I am, but it actually opened up a lot of other avenues that I didn't realize even existed.
It's great. I mean, yeah, it just goes to show like a job doesn't define you. A career path, a relationship, et cetera, you define you. And once that snaps into focus, you really can come into this the person that you're meant to be, and you don't get bogged down by certain things. So, oh my God, you've got to figure it out, girl. You're on the
I'm
right track.
trying.
You're so wise. Oh my
Oh my
God,
God.
I love it. So, what outside of theater? Speaking of, like, what kind of pop culture is like in your diet? Like, what kind of music do you love listening to? Like, who do you stan?
Oh my gosh, I'm someone who very much I listen to different things depending on the season. Like depend
Yeah.
like winter, spring, summer, fall, it's a different playlist. I have like a big spring, summer, fall, winter playlist on my phone, and I just add new songs to it every year.
How
So you also
cool.
get some throwbacks in there, you get whatever. But right now we're like spring, slowly entering summer. And I, in recent years, really got into African pop and like reggae.
How cool.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it is like just the most feel good music ever. And it's also a great, like, it's my favorite music to listen to getting ready for shows, also. But there's an artist, her name's Koffee, and she's a Jamaican reggae artist, and her stuff just makes me feel so good, and she's awesome. Coffee with a K.
I feel like I know that. I feel like I know her name.
She has some songs that like have blown up, but I love her. But in general, I ingest any kind of media ever, and like I can have an appreciate, like there's nothing I really like don't like. I have an appreciation for everything. Like I feel like there's a time and place for everything, you know?
Oh, I love
Are you
it.
a TV person? Oh, it's bad. It's
Oh
so
my
bad.
gosh.
It is so bad. I have like the most insane skill of being able to like I can binge watch shows in an ungodly amount of time. Like it's crazy. 'Cause I'll be like doing random things and it'll just keep going and running through episodes. It's
Yeah.
really bad. Severance was like my recent obsession.
Yeah. Oh
So
yeah.
good. But
Oh
now I'm
yeah. Oh
watching the
my
new season
God.
of Black Mirror.
Me too. I just did the Hotel Reverie
Oh, I
episode.
haven't seen that one
So I think
yet.
I'm
Okay.
three
I haven't
in.
seen that one yet.
Okay, it's got Issa Rae in it. It's fine.
Oh,
It's
yes,
fine.
I
It's
did see
good. Yeah.
that. That was
I
crazy.
just binged you.
You, I watched the first like three seasons and then I stopped for no reason at all, but I want to like start rewatching to get back into the new.
I know. I think a lot of people had that experience. And here's what I'll say. Season four was not my fave. And that's like my kind way of saying it. But season five, they really charted out a fantastic conclusion to the
I love
story.
that.
And it did drag a little bit at points, but I really like what they were doing. And I like what the show had to say about kind of like nature versus nurture and the way we glorify bad people in the media.
Okay.
So maybe that's
Oh,
my tease
okay.
there
I'll do the
for
rewatch
that.
then.
I know.
I will. I'm the type of person that will, even if I don't like what's going on at the moment or I'm not super into it, I'll stick with it
Yes,
to see if it pays off in the
completionist.
end. Yes. Yeah. I give things a
Yeah,
chance.
that's good. Do you and your man watch things together?
Yeah, he's like literally not allowed to watch anything without me, unfortunately. I think because most of the he has great taste in like movies and TV, and I so he like shows me a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
Like he showed me Lost, which oh my God.
The best. The
Hello.
best. Life-changing.
I don't know how I
Yeah.
went on without it. Crazy. But now like he's not allowed. Not
That's
allowed.
fair. That's fair.
It's also really fun to have someone to be like, oh my God, to like when you're watching with.
Oh yeah. Yes, totally.
I just text my friends and I annoy them. I don't have someone to grab onto, but I just annoy Dylan, I guess, too. But oh my God, I feel like we're giving doses of drama here kind of now. So I guess I'll segue into it. But we do like to share a dose of drama on this podcast. This is kind of like our little recommendation about anything, theater, pop culture, love, and life. It's that show we've been binging, maybe, as we just shared some, or maybe that artist we're obsessed with. There's something we're gonna rant about, rave about, promote. Could be anything. Okay, so I'm obsessed with Maren Morris, the formerly country artist. She's now moved into like sort of pop. She left the country world behind, which is a very interesting thing to look at. She was basically like, you guys are not with the times, and she's like, not to be that friend who's too woke, but like, F all of you. I'm getting out of here. I'm leaving country music behind. And she came out as bisexual a couple years ago. And this is her first album since. And y'all, it is so good. She's got like some Jack Antonoff producing. Muna wrote on several of her songs. It's
Oh,
like true to her, but such a fun kind of like love
early
that.
summer vibe.
Love
And
that.
Connor's written hard for Maren Morris for years, I will say.
I
Yeah.
know. There's like this part that loves like a country pop female artist. And I'm so glad I jumped on the Maren Morris train. Obviously, we know her from The Middle, but she's like, it's so good. I can't recommend it enough. Like I said, it's kind of giving like Muna at times. So I feel like
Oh,
if you're into
fun.
that vibe, you'd enjoy Dreamsicle by Maren Morris, the new album.
Dreamsicle.
Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
Yeah, I guess I'll just say I watched a fun movie last night that I'm like all about like lighter fare lately. And it was One of Them Days with Kiki Palmer and SZA. It's
Oh,
on
yeah.
Netflix now, but it was in theaters a couple months ago. It is so funny and just a little absurd. It kind of reminded me of like those crazy comedies you might have watched as like a kid. You just have to suspend your disbelief a little bit, but it is very, very fun. And
Oh,
Issa Rae, speaking of
fun.
Issa Rae, she actually produced it and has a voice cameo in it. So for any stans of Insecure, it gave Insecure vibes at times too,
Oh,
but way more
fun.
madcap than that. So I suggest that.
Oh, I love Kiki Palmer. Nice.
I
Me
know,
too.
she's the
Oh my God,
best.
I love her.
Yeah,
She's the
she could do anything.
best. Love her.
Tatiana, do you have a dose of drama?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for telling me it's on Netflix now because I wanted to see it in theaters,
Yes.
but life was crazy, so I will be
Yes.
watching
It's only
that.
like 90 minutes too, so.
Oh,
Oh,
okay. I love
great.
that. So my current like obsession, and they're all over my For You page, and it's been an obsession. So there is a Netflix show called Popstar Academy that came out last year,
Oh.
and it was about the creation. Have you heard of this?
No. Yes, I have.
Okay, so
It's
it
on
was
my, it's
about
been in my
how.
queue.
Oh, gotta must watch. Okay, so
Yeah.
it's a Netflix series called Popstar Academy. It came out last year, and it was like a documentary. And the premise is bringing the K-pop, like how they make K-pop groups in
Like, yeah, like those
Korea.
boot camp.
Yes, thank
Yeah.
you. That's the word. Like those boot camp style, like girl group making things. How do we do that in America? And then it's a worldwide girl group kind of thing. So they did that, and it was a whole, like, you saw the whole boot camp process. These girls went through like 2 years of boot camp doing this, almost 3 years. And then at the end, they ended up forming a girl group, and it started with like 40 girls, and then it ended up being six girls. Now they're a group called Cat's Eye, and they came out with like their first EP last year, Slay. It was great. And then they've been sort of like, they're still on TikTok and everything, but they've been sort of like laying low. And they just recently like dropped this song called Gnarly. And it's like a hot topic on TikTok right now because it's like the lyrics are really weird. It's kind of, it's like a total rebrand of them.
Oh.
And it's really like the first time I heard it, I was like, girls, what are we doing here? But now I can't stop singing it. And my boyfriend can't stop singing it. And it's really bothering him. And they are just like, they're all stunning, beautiful young girls from all over. They're all like of different ethnic backgrounds, and they're dancing, singing down. Their choreography is insane.
Okay, yeah. Well, I feel like there's a buy-in once you've watched the show too, that you like care about them.
Yeah, you care about them, but then also they're just like so talented. And I like it becomes like, I feel like they almost came out with this song to show you like how much they can really get into under your skin in the best way. Because now they're such queens.
Oh my
I'm
gosh,
obsessed.
Cat's Eye.
Yes. Cat's Eye, but like
Okay.
with a K. They're amazing.
Love. Oh, that sounds so good. Yeah, that's been on my list forever. My friend, it came out last summer, right?
Yes, but that series is actually really good
Okay.
and just crazy how that like K-pop world works.
Yeah, fascinating to me. It's wild. That, did you see the K-pop musical when it was on?
No,
No?
but it looked amazing. I had some like mutual friends that were a part of it, and it
Yeah.
looked awesome.
It's fascinating. I mean, they legit, you know, based because you watched the Popstar Academy, but they really put them through crazy. That's why every move is literally perfect because they just drill
Perfect.
it into them. It's wild.
It's like Rockettes, but
Yeah.
it's like Pop Rockettes.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, Tatiana, thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. Like, I think I told you this before we started recording, but we're obsessed with you. So, and we're even more obsessed. You're so sweet, and everybody has got to go see you in Real Women Have Curves and follow you on Instagram and TikTok. It's Tatiana Sophia, right? On both.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yes, exactly. Thank you so much. This was so fun, and y'all are amazing.
Oh.
I'm more obsessed with you now too. So.
That means the world. Oh my God. And while everyone is following Tatiana, they've got to follow us. We're at the Drama Podcast. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Connor is at Connor McDowell. Buy your tickets to Real Women Have Curves. And Connor, we'll see you next time. Drama.
Drama.